On all the crisis demands, you are to stand firmly in your place. Stand firm. When you've done what you can do, don't murmur, don't complain, don't get mad at everybody else that doesn't have the problems that you have, but just say, God, I believe your word is true. I trust you, and I'm going to stand and watch you work in my life. Like Chris said today, we got to get our faith stirred up again. I said, we got to get our faith stirred up again. Stir up your faith. Stir it up. Paul had to tell Timothy, stir up your faith. Fan that flame. You once were red hot on fire, full of faith, but now you've gotten weary. We all get weary. You think that I never get tired of doing another conference? Now, I mean, I love you guys to pieces, and I'm here because I love you and because I love God. But people say to me always, are you excited about the conference? Well, no. You know why? Because if I was just running on excitement, I would have run out of gas a long time ago. Let me tell you something. New things are exciting, but when you've done it 2,000 times, come on, listen to me. Because once the excitement's over, real men and women of God kick into faithfulness. Come on, hear me tonight. Once the excitement is gone, then you better know how to be faithful, and you keep doing it not because it excites you, but because it's what God has assigned you to do, and you do it out of love. That's when you're doing it with the right motive. We all get tired. You get tired of doing dishes. I get tired of needing another sermon. You know, we all get tired. And I'm just being honest with you, you know, we're all people, right? How many of you get tired of just doing what you do all the time? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. See, you like to think of your leaders like people who float around on a cloud singing the hallelujah chorus all day long. You think the devil gets after you? You ought to try doing this. Ginger told me today, she said, I think it may be a while before I'll be willing to do another spiritual warfare conference with you. Because you don't know what we've had to put up with to come and tell you about the devil. You look at me kind of odd, like, you want to talk about the devil? Well, I'd really rather talk about some cool little sweet little dessert thing that everybody could just clap and cheer. But I need to tell you that the devil hates you. And you better start stirring up your faith and not keep wanting somebody else to do everything for you. Sooner or later, everybody has to face off with their Goliath. Why was Jesus led by the Holy Spirit out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil 40 days and 40 nights? Right after he had that victory, he began his public ministry with power. Why did he have to go through that? Because God needed him to prove to himself that he could stand off with the devil and come out a winner every time. Yes, he was fully God, but he was also man. And we need to know that. And that's why God doesn't deliver us instantly and easily from everything, but sometimes he lets us go through things so we can find out what we're made of. Come on. Ooh, I just get so mad when I see what the devil is doing to people. Jesus did many things, but he did them all out of rest. You can do everything that God has assigned you to do, and you can do it from a standpoint of rest. And you know how you enter the rest of God? He that believes enters the rest of God. The Israelites could not enter the rest of God because of their unbelief, it says in Hebrews. and what they heard did them no good because of unbelief. But there is a rest that still remains available for the children of God. For all those who believe, they can enter the rest of God. Let's start believing God. Let's stir our faith up. Let's let Jesus marvel at our faith. Finally, I've got a church full of people that believe what I say. Amen? It's time.
Well, I don't know. But all that faith stuff.
And let me just tell you a little secret. Faith is not something that God gives you so you never have to go through anything. And if you can't get rid of every problem, it's not because you don't have any faith. And if you get sick, it's not because you don't have any faith. It's because the devil hates you. And he's trying to make you miserable. And we need to show him that we know who our God is, and that no matter what he does, we are going to stand and we are going to serve God and we are going to love him and we are going to be faithful whether it's exciting or whether it's not.
Thanks for listening. Learn how to fight life's battles when you order today's offer, Joyce's book, Your Battles Belong to the Lord, and the study guide. This hardcover book and study guide are available now for a donation of $30 or more in U.S. funds, and we do accept all major credit cards. You can order today's offer from our website at joycemeyer.org, or you can call us toll-free at 1-800-789-0089. Again, the number is 1-800-789-0089.
Well, you know, I am committed to bring you the Word of God on a regular basis, and I need you to be committed in partnership to help us continue bringing you the programs we bring you and sharing the love of Christ and the Word of Christ all over the world.
As a thank you to anyone signing up for convenient automatic giving for the first time, we'd like to send you a special gift for your donation. Join us in partnership as we share Christ and love people. Contact us right now at joycemeyer.org.
Thanks again for listening to Enjoying Everyday Life. Our mission here at Joyce Meyer Ministries is simple: sharing Christ and loving people. Remember, together we can do more.
Morningside Academy, the first private school in Port St. Lucie, has been providing academics with excellence since 1987. Morningside Academy offers private Christian education in a godly atmosphere, teaching truths that will last a lifetime. Morningside Academy provides excellence in academics, athletics, and the arts while developing Christ-like leaders for today and in the future. For more information about Morningside Academy, call 772-335-3231.
Welcome to On to Perfection, the radio ministry of Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. I'm Trevor Banks, and I'm glad you've joined us for today's broadcast. I trust also you will be blessed by the message.
Watch what I tell you. Watch what I tell you. And the nations are going to come to the light. And many will bring their wealth into the light, into the house of God. There will be a great transference. Don't think that God's going to stop prospering people in this time. Some are going to become more prosperous in this time than they ever were in all their life. Amen. But it's going to come through walking close to him, hearing what he says, following and obeying what he says to do, loving him with all your heart. Your heart is not going to be in the treasures of this world. Lord, what you want me to do with this million that just came? What you want me to do with that 10 million? Where you want me to put that 25 million? Where will it be most valuable? How many wells you want us to dig in Africa? How many orphanages you want us to build? Y'all ain't hear me. God got a plan, and he got a people that will follow that plan. Amen. It's not about you anymore. It's about him. What would you have me to do? You know, something just flashed across my mind. I want you to, I'm going to challenge you to study this out in John where John, in John, the Lord had risen from the dead. He was on the shore. You know the story. I think it's John 20 or 21. They were fishing. And they hadn't caught anything all night again. And Jesus was on the shore. He said, "Children, have you caught any food?" They said, "No." He said, "Drop your nets on the right side of the boat." And when they did, they caught, I think it was 157 fish or something like that. And John said, "It's the Lord." Peter dove in with just his little girdle on and swam to the Lord. And they came and he had already prepared fish for them. But I want you to see something here. This is the transition. This is going to be the new norm. If I can explain it this way. The Lord challenged Peter. He said, "Simon, lovest thou me?" And Peter said, "Lord, yes, I love you." Now, I want you to catch something here, because in the study of the Greek, Jesus used the word love and Peter used the word love, but there were two different words.
Amen. Yes, yes. That's right.
Jesus said, "Lovest thou me?" In other words, he said, "Lovest," or agapeo, agape. Do you love me with a selfless love? A self-sacrificing love. And Peter, having had fallen already, he was kind of sheepish. He said, "Lord, I love you," but he didn't use agape.
Amen. Amen.
He used the word filio.
Amen.
I love you with an affection.
Amen.
But Lord, I don't already fail. I don't know. You know, I can't, you know, I'm ashamed. I can't say I love you with the self-sacrificing love. Then Jesus came to him the second time. He said, "Simon, lovest thou me?" Agapeo. Peter again, he's getting a little disturbed. He, "Lord, I love you," but he used the word filio again. Third time Jesus came to him. He said, "Simon, lovest thou me more than these?" But the Lord used the word filio. He was saying, "All you love me with is affection." And Peter was shamed. He said, "Lord, thou knowest I love you." He said, "Feed my sheep." But see, the Lord was after something. Because right after that, if you read, the Lord said, "Simon, when you were young, you went about doing as you wanted. But," he said, "there's going to come a time where you're going to be led where you don't want to go."
Amen.
Talking about his death.
Amen.
Crucifixion. But he was saying that I'm going to take you from the filio and I'm going to bring you into the agapeo, to where you are willing to give your life.
Amen.
For me. It won't just be an affection. It'll be a self-sacrificing. You know, Peter, history has it, was crucified upside down.
Amen. Amen.
He didn't find himself worthy to be crucified like his Lord. But you see, in this transition, the new normal is not just going to be filial. You know, the brotherly affection. No, God's going to raise up people. I'll call them crucified ones. Ones that have not only an affection for him, but are self-sacrificing. In other words, it's not just about them. It's about, "Lord, what can I do for you? What do you demand of me? What do you want from me?" Peter failed three times. He had boasted about how he would do this and die, but it was only filial. My question is, how many are just walking in that kind of love? A carnal, brotherly, which is okay. Philadelphia is called the city of brotherly love. Brotherly love. But God says, "No, I'm calling you to a new norm. I'm calling you deeper.
Amen.
I'm calling you to love me to where you will give yourself up for me." That's a whole nother realm, a whole nother dimension of God, where supernatural phenomena, it's a sent mention. It's where faith and God are there. Fear has no place there. Uncertainty has no place there. Insecurity has no place there. God said, I'm calling you to agapeo, to the agape love. Joshua chapter 5, verse 12. I'm going to wind this up in a moment.